We've been on a series now about the testing that God gave to the life of Joseph. Every test has been something going wrong for Joseph doing something right. This is the first test when everything's going to go right for Joseph. You know, when everything goes right, that can be a bigger test than when everything's going wrong. We think, no, when you finally get the desire of your heart, man, this is wonderful. But it's a test too, and you have to learn these things. So we're going to stand together. We're going to honor God as we read Genesis chapter 41, starting with verse 33. And now let Pharaoh, this is Joseph talking, by the way, and now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and a wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of all these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that are going to come upon Egypt, so the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all of his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there's no one else so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and of all my people, they are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift up hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name of Zephaniah-Phineah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Father, when we come into those times in our lives that you lift us up, you answer all of our prayers. You give us all the desires of our hearts. Father, help us to know that that too is a test. How are we going to handle life when you give us power? Father, bless us, open our hearts to your truth, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Wonderful story of Joseph and how the Lord is going to now give him a different kind of a test. This is the test when everything is going right for Joseph. It's the first time in his life, except when he was a boy before the age of 17 and his father gave him the robe of many colors and he was held in high esteem. For 13 years, Joseph has had a reverse in his life. Everything seemed to be against him. But as God told Jacob, when Jacob said, "All this is against me," the Lord let Jacob know, no, it's not against you. Because the Bible says if God's for you, who or what can be against you? And the answer is nothing. God is for Joseph, and God is about to bring Joseph into the blessings that he promised him in his dream. It says in John 10:10, The thief, this is Jesus speaking, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We mentioned last week, the only one that can rob you of the dream that God has put into your heart is you. Nobody else, your parents, your friends, your teachers, your biggest enemy, none of them can rob you of what God has for you for that full life, except for you. If you allow the thief to come in and lie to you, and you make choices that are against what God has for you, you're going to rob yourself. But we have the ability, through the Lord, to simply keep trusting our Lord. We sing the song, I just keep trusting my Lord, and he gives a song. I just keep trusting my Lord, and he leads me on. Folks, I want you to keep singing that song because God wants your best. And your best is exactly what God has equipped you for. He's given you the skills you need. He's given you everything you need for a life of godliness. And all he's asking you to do is trust him like Joseph did. So we all have a dream. Our dreams are different. God doesn't give us all the same dream. But God fulfills every dream he gives us if we pass the character test that he brings into our lives. Joseph had a God-given dream, and we said last week that Joseph's dream was only a small part of what God really had for him. When Joseph had his dream, his 11 brothers and his dad and mother were going to bow down to him. God had much more in mind for Joseph than that. And the dream that God has given you is just a small portion of what God wants to do with your life. Once you understand that, once you put your hope in God and you stop worrying and fretting about every little thing that goes wrong, realize all those things are simply tests. They're testing your character so that you can handle the dream when it comes to fulfillment. And so it's extremely important. Joseph had no idea what God was about to do. Joseph, at the age of 17, was sold by his brothers as a slave. For 13 years, everything Joseph did that was right got a punishment. And we say, that's just not right. And it's true, it's not right. But God uses all the wrongs of life to build character so that when the dream does come to fruition, you've got the character to give the glory to God and to use your giftedness and your power that Joseph is just about to receive here for God's glory, not your own. This is so important. Joseph was forgotten by man. Everything he did seemed to get worse and worse and worse, but he was never forgotten by God. God has a perfect time to bring any of us into our dream. And so in Genesis chapter 40, verse 20, now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all of his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Have you ever been forgotten by somebody? You did something very, very good for them, and they just totally neglected the good you had done. Don't feel cheated, because although they may forget you, although they may never say thank you, God says if you just give a cup of cold water in his name, you're never going to lose your reward. People will forget you. People will forget the good you've done, but God never will. Joseph, 2 years passed. He had interpreted properly the dream for the chief cupbearer and the baker, but the chief cupbearer forgot all about him. 2 years pass. Now, 2 years, if you're having a good time, seems like it goes so fast. But if you're in jail for something you didn't do wrong for, how long is 2 years? It's a lifetime. It's forever. In Genesis 41, verse 1, it says, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile. Folks, why does God wait so long? Joseph had just interpreted the dream for the chief cupbearer. The chief cupbearer goes back. He gets put back into his position, and he forgets about Joseph. And 2 years go by. God has a perfect plan. He has a time for everything. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says there's a time for everything under the sun. Time to be born and a time to die. Time to plant and a time to reap, and so on and so forth. There's a time when God is going to lift you up. But you have to wait for that time. You can't make it happen. You can prepare. Joseph is always preparing himself because he's got the dream. I am going to somehow be a ruler. I don't know over who. I know my parents and my brothers are all going to bow down, but I don't know how else God's going to use this, but I'm going to prepare my heart. And so everything that Joseph did, he did it for God's glory, and he did the very best he could do. And then he waited. You know, the Bible says, blessed are those that wait upon the Lord. If you're constantly pushing, you want it now, life's going to work against you. But if you can learn to wait on the Lord, the blessing will come at the right time. In Genesis 41, verse 8, in the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, 2 years after again, today I'm reminded of my shortcoming. Folks, 2 years, it's a terrible thing, but God has a reason for the delay. We want a little child, you're going on a trip and you're going to go on vacation. What's the question they're always asking? Are we there yet? Man, it's so, you drive to Florida and it's a 20-hour drive. How long is 20 hours to a child? It's forever because we're going to the Magic Kingdom. We got to get there. We'll get there in time, children, but you have to learn. I mentioned Isaiah 40, verse 31. This is a memory verse you ought to memorize. This is a lesson of life that you have to have in your heart. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and will not be faint. Folks, that's an important verse. You've got to learn to keep your hope in the Lord. You've got to learn to wait on the Lord for his time. He has a time. If he's put a dream in your heart, he's going to bring it to fruition as long as you keep growing in your godly character. It's a matter of his timing. In Genesis 41, verse 14, so Pharaoh sent for Joseph. Where's Joseph? He's in a dungeon. He's in a jail. He was quickly brought forth from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. That word quickly, I want you to keep it in your mind because we're going to see once God begins to move, it's rapid. Once God lifts you up, things change in a day. This is an amazing story. So, in Genesis 41, verse 33, Joseph is standing before Pharaoh. He interprets his dream. Joseph is given by God the knowledge of the dream, and he says to Pharaoh, now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and a wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and all of his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Folks, Joseph is going to go from prison to being the greatest leader that Egypt has ever had. He's going from 13 years waiting for the Lord, and one day he's going from his vision to the fulfillment. And that's the way God works. An amazing, amazing thing. So, with that in mind, it's interesting that Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, and this he's saying to us, 1,400 years later than Moses, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." God has given you a different heart than the world has today. God has given you his light so that you can shine in this dark world and give them the hope that there's something beyond this. It isn't just about now that we're concerned about. It's about eternity. You're to be different. Joseph was salty. Everywhere Joseph went, people could honestly say, "That man is different. He doesn't get angry when things go wrong." When Potiphar's wife made a false accusation and Joseph is put in jail, is Joseph in jail pouting and angry about how life has turned? Joseph is busy about the work. He's busy about glorifying God. We get so upset when things go wrong, but Joseph has learned the blessing of rejoicing always in the Lord. And again, I'll say it, rejoice. That's Philippians 4:4. Another verse you ought to know. Joseph just kept doing what was right. Don't let the negative things of life make you bitter. Let them make you better so that you're even saltier than you were. You're even giving off more light than you were. And people are going to say, "That's not normal. He must have quite a God, or she." Folks, that's what God's looking for. In Genesis 41, verse 39, "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has made all this known to you, there's no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you.' So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt.' Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger, put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in the chariot as his second in command. And people shouted before him, 'Make way!' Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Folks, that all happened in one day. Joseph went to bed the night before in a dungeon. When he went to bed the next day, he was sleeping in the palace. That's how God works. And you have to get used to this. All the preparation, all the study, all the things you do to try to bring your dream to reality, God will use all that at one time, and it'll change your whole life pattern. It's interesting to me that what Joseph received in rewards is exactly the same thing the prodigal son received when he came to his senses. I want you to look with me at Luke chapter 15. "But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. I hope you see this. God will bless you as you continue to trust in Him. It won't take years and years. It might take years of testing to get to that one point. But in one day, God will change your life. Things will start going your way for a change. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches," how rich is God? He has it all, friends, and He can make it yours in an instant. "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power." How much power does God have? Unlimited power, and He can give it to whoever He wants to. "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Joseph had the dream that his parents and his brothers were going to bow down to him. Joseph had no idea that he was going to be the greatest leader in the world and that everybody was going to bow down to him. Folks, this is so important. We don't know exactly what God's going to do with our life, but He is going to use us. Bev, as a little girl, had no idea that God would ever use her to lead her sister to faith in Christ. But because Bev is a woman of character, she kept learning God's word, praying for her sister, and in one day, guess what? 38 years of prayer became reality. The same thing can be in your life and mine. The Lord loves to honor those that honor Him. So how do we respond when good things happen in our life? We think when good things happen, this is surely not a test, this is a reward. Well, it is a reward, but at the same time, it's a test. It's so important we understand this, because if you have trouble with your pride, before you come into your blessing, what do you suppose your pride is going to be like after you come into your blessing? Joseph is now the leader of literally the greatest nation on earth at that time. If he had a trouble with his pride before, what's he going to be like now? And that's why many people are held back, because God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so it's extremely important we understand this, because Joseph is now entering into the power test. All the other tests we've hit so far were negative tests. Things were going wrong and things were going wrong, but now things are going very right. And it's a test. God wants to see, how's Joseph going to do now? In Genesis chapter 41, verse 14, "So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh." When the change happens, it happens in an instant. We have to be people of godly character so that God can trust us with the power that He's about to give us. Now, everybody has some power. Even little children have some power. Your parents say, go to bed. You can say, well, I'm going to lay in bed, but I'm not going to sleep. And you can do that for a while. Of course, you're going to fall asleep, but you can resist. But as you begin to use God's power that He gives you right, He'll give you more power. And if you use that properly, he'll give you more power. God loves to honor those that honor him. 13 years of preparation. Things are going wrong, things are going wrong, things are going wrong, and now the sky is the limit. This guy is the richest man of his day, next only to Pharaoh. He's, what's the guy's name that's in charge of the does now? Elon Musk. He's the Elon Musk of his day. He's the richest guy around. Folks, this is what happens, but even in the wealth and the riches, there's a test. In Proverbs 27:21, it says, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but people are tested by their praise. When everybody's speaking about you and what a wonderful person you are and how wonderful the things are that you do, folks, that's a test. How are you going to handle that? Are you going to give the glory to God, or are you going to hold that glory for yourself? And this is a real test for Joseph. So where does power come from? This is so important to understand. People that are in positions of power are there because God has put them there. Now, not everybody that's in a position of power has passed the test of being a man of godly or a woman of godly character. Sometimes God puts people in power over people who are in rebellion against him to teach them a lesson. And so we can't say everybody in power, well, God blessed them for that. No, it's another test for them. But power does come from God. In Psalm 62, verse 11, one thing God has spoken, two things have I heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. And so it's extremely important for us to understand where power comes from. Even those who misuse the power God gave them, that doesn't mean God didn't give them that power. In John chapter 19, verse 10, do you refuse to speak to me, Pilate said? Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, you'd have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. Even evil rulers are in power only because God has allowed it. So, we need to be careful with this thing. When success happens, the godly person gives the glory to God. The ungodly person takes the glory to themselves. In John 15, verse 4, Jesus said, remain in me, and I will also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you and I abide in Christ, he's the vine, we're the branches. What kind of fruit are we going to produce? It's going to be his fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness. If we're not abiding in Christ, we're going to produce a different kind of fruit. And the world's not going to like it very well. So our Lord wants us to do his work for his glory. In Matthew 25, verse 23, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Folks, if you're faithful in little, in his time, God will make you ruler over much. But we have to learn to wait for his proper time. Power is not all evil, and power is not all bad. In fact, when God created mankind, he gave them power. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule, that's power, over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over the livestock, and over all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule, again, power, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They'll be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the sky, and the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I will give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Why did God make man and woman in his image? To rule. We are to be in charge. Folks, there's nothing wrong with having authority and power and wealth, as long as you're using it for God's glory, as long as you're using it for other mankind's good. Our Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew 28:18, Jesus came to them and said, all authority, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Good power, godly power, focuses on the glory of God and the welfare of others. And as long as you're using your power that way, God will give you more power. He won't take away your power. He's going to give you more. So in 1 Peter 4:10, he says, each of you should use whatever gift, and that's the power in your life, your giftedness. We have gifts that are physical gifts. Some people are born with hands that can fix anything. Some people are born with hands that can paint beautiful pictures. Some people have hands that aren't very useful, but their minds are productive. Whatever gift God's given you, you received it to do what? To serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Why did God gift you with an ability? I was over yesterday in Joshua's barn. And he's building a chicken coop. He has a gift from God that he can work with wood in a way I never could. I just can't do that. Now, I can build a chicken coop, but it's not going to look like the chicken coop he built. And his dad, Joel, has the same gift. We all have different gifts. And I just want to encourage you, find out what your natural gifts are, find out what your spiritual gifts are, and if you use that for God's glory and others' good, God's going to continue to give you more and more and more. If you use it for yourself, if it's all about you, it's not going to work out very well. So how do we get power from God? How do we increase this? God gives us a wonderful answer, and it's found in James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Who gave Joshua and his dad the ability to work with wood? It wasn't them. It was God. Joel's my son and Joshua's my grandson. They didn't get it from me, I can tell you that. But God gave them that. What a blessing. And God says as long as they use that for his glory and others' good, he's going to give them more. Folks, the same thing is true for you. I don't care what your giftedness is, whether it's physical or spiritual. God says if you use your giftedness for his glory, he's going to give you more. If you bless others with what God has given you, he's going to give you more. Not to make us rich, but to make us productive for his glory. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to to the humble. Humble yourselves are under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Our God gives humble people power. If you've ever wanted power in your life, the way to get it isn't to exalt yourself, it's to exalt God and bless others. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, has not my hand made all these things, and they so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor. Now, I got to ask you this. Do you want God's favor? He's going to tell you exactly here how to get it. These are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Folks, when you humble yourself under God and you delight in the word of God, God's going to lift you up. Why? Not so you can be the greatest and the most wonderful person that ever lived, but so that you can be a blessing. So you can bring him glory. You can bless others with your lives. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, talking about another servant of God, Moses, this is what the Lord said about Moses, and Moses was greatly used of God. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. I'm going to give you a little talk here. I know it's not Super Bowl Sunday, but this fits pretty well. God says to you, I'm going to give you the ball. And you're a football player. You say, Lord, I can't go against those 300-pound tackles. They're solid muscles, 6'6". I can't do it. And the Lord says, son, don't worry about it a bit. You stay right behind me because I'm going to block for you. And so with all the fear and trembling you've got, the ball is hiked, the Lord hands the ball to you, and he begins to block those 300-pounders, no problem at all. They're out of your way. You run down the field, you're all out of air, but you cross the finish line, and the crowd goes wild. And it's like God suddenly disappears. Everybody's praising you because, man, you run that ball right down that field, and nobody could touch you. And now you've got a choice. You can do your little dance if you wanna. You can spike the ball if you wanna. Or you can do like I see many young athletes doing today. You point up. And you say, Lord, you're the reason. You're the one that gets the glory. Folks, if you don't do that, if you take the applause of the crowd and you say, what a guy I am, the next time the Lord hands you the ball, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna follow him down that field so he can block? Or are you going to do your fancy little move now that you think you're in charge? That fancy little move is going to cost you because God himself is going to tackle you. If you think a 300-pound giant man is going to hurt you, what do you think is going to happen when God tackles you? Because he will. God says he's a jealous God. He won't share his glory with anybody. We talked about Moses, didn't we? The most humble man that ever lived. But God said to Moses one time when the children of Israel had no water, he said, I want you to speak to the rock. Gather the whole congregation, speak to the rock, and out of the rock is going to come water. But Moses is hot. I try to be a humble man, but once in a while, my temper, I'm a Larkin. And once in a while, that old temper pops up, and I do some stupid things. Moses, instead of speaking to the rock this time, takes the staff in his hand and he hits the rock 3 times. And he says to the people, must we, meaning himself and Aaron, must we bring you water out of this rock to drink? What did he just do? He robbed God's glory. Joseph said, no man can interpret your dream, only God. Who got the glory? God did. And then God gave glory to Joseph. You take your choice. But when you go down the field of life, and instead of giving the glory to God, you're constantly going like this. Come on, I need the praise. Come on, yeah, I am the greatest. Folks, you're about to go down. Be careful with pride. When God moves you forward, and he will if you're faithful, make sure you don't take the glory. God's a jealous God. When you do something well, in other words, after I preach a message, sometimes people will come back. Now, sometimes they let me know it wasn't so hot. But sometimes they'll say, man, great message, Pastor. I got a choice then. I can say, well, thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Or I can say, well, thank you very much. Yes, yeah, I was quite impressed with myself as well. Folks, do you understand the difference? If you say, no, if you're really humble and you try to go too far with humility, and you say, no, it wasn't me at all. It was all the Lord. The truth of the matter, if it was all the Lord, he would have done far better than you'll ever do. The truth of the matter is we should say, well, thank you. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. Praise the Lord. And if you do that, you've got that humble heart. You're still being used of God. God will move you even further ahead. But be careful, because once people start applauding you and the power God's given you, it's awful easy to switch from humility to pride. And pride will bring you down. In Genesis 41:15, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said that you, when you hear a dream, can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied. The truth of the matter is, Moses and Aaron, how much water could they bring out of a rock? None. Mankind can't bring water out of a rock. Only God can do that. Joseph can't interpret a dream, but God can give him the ability to do that. Folks, when you give the glory to God, he's going to bless you. I can't do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. God gets his glory, you get moved forward, and life goes on, and he's going to continue to use you. Why does power come to us in the first place? So where does power come from? We already said power comes from God. All power comes from God. Jesus said, without me, you can do how much? Nothing. You can't do a thing. If Jesus took his blessing off you right now, you would cease to exist as a person. It'd be over. That's it. We don't get the next breath because we're so healthy and strong. We get the next breath because God gives it to us. So, where does power come from? It comes from God. How do we get power? By humbling ourselves under God's mighty hand, and he lifts us up. Why does power come to us? In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, why does God give anybody power? Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Folks, God longs to be with you. Remember I mentioned about the Super Bowl, God handing the ball? Do you know God, in every game, God uses every player? There are no bench sitters with God. Some people preach. Some people sing like Nancy. Some people play instruments like Betty Lou and Dave and all the rest. Some people plant the flowers and the different things out front. Some people decorate. Some people cut the grass. But everybody gets to play. The only reason some people don't play is that they don't want to serve God. Folks, there's an area in every local church, not just this one. This isn't the only good church in our area. There's lots of good churches. But people don't want to get active. They don't want to serve the Lord with God's giftedness. I just got to tell you, no matter where you go, and some of you are going to be here for a while, and some of you are going to move on, that's all fine. That's no problem. But wherever you are, find an area of service. Get in the game. Don't be a side sitter. God wants you active and playing. And as you do something faithfully, when I first started out, I knew almost nothing about the Word of God. But I didn't know how to cut grass. And so I went to work at that church cutting grass. It's all I knew how to do. I and my wife started having little children, and I knew how to change diapers, and I knew how to watch little ones, and so I and the wife started the nursery work. As I went on and began to learn a little bit, the Lord put me in charge of the junior Sunday school, and I taught junior Sunday school. As you're faithful in little, but being active in little, God will in his time make you ruler over much. I just want to encourage you, find an area of service. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 17, but remember the Lord, your God, you may say to yourselves, and he's talking to the nation of Israel, you may say to yourselves, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to you, to your ancestors, as it is today. We need to remember the Lord. We need to remember where our giftedness came from. It's not yours. It's yours to use for his glory, but it's God's gift to you. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'm not going to take time to read the whole thing. I see our clock is off again, and the old boy talked too long. Verse 10, if you can bring that up, Eric. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The world's definition of success is prestige and riches and fame. God's definition of proper use of godly power is God's glory, mankind's good. You get to decide what you want to do. We need to be very careful here, because if we misuse it, we just fail to test. And you're going to have less power instead of more power. Father God, we're so grateful for your blessings to us. Lord, we read about Joseph, but he's not the only one that you put in a power position. Each of us has power. As we raise our children for your glory, that's a great power you've given. As we use the knowledge you've given us of God's word, and as Bev led her sister to the Lord, Lord, that's a great use of power. Father, help us to be eager to serve for your glory. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise. Help us to be a channel of your love. And we'll praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.